relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Who doesn't like a good story? All humans like a good story, don't we? Even Jeff likes them, if they're not science fiction. There's something about us that just craves it, from when we're children and our mothers tell us a bedtime story to the darkness of the movie theater, a good book. It's a fuel for us. And they're all the more powerful when they actually happen. When they're real, when they're not just fantasy illuminating some eternal truth. And I'm going to open America First today with a story that... So, you know, I've been traveling. I always take far too many books with me. My carry-on luggage has at least four books in it wherever I go. And one of them I couldn't put down. And it's interesting because I hate autobiographies. I read very few fiction works, and I hate autobiographies. I like stuff about history, strategy, and so forth. But this is an autobiography. And it's written by a former commissioner of police. And I'm going to share this story with you right now. So bear with me, because it's about what's happening in America. Someone once said, I run an agency of 55,000 people as if it were an office of 10. I think that's a good description of my management style. I expect my staff to be my eyes and ears when I can't be there, such as the day that we dedicated a new display at the police museum. The display shows the shields of all the 572 New York City police officers who have lost their lives in the line of duty since James Cahill was killed on September the 29th, 1854. During the ceremony for the families of the slain officers, my chief of department, Joe Esposito, noticed an elderly woman standing alone and crying. He went up to her and asked if he could help. A few hours later, Joe called to tell about this lovely woman he'd met, and as a result, I invited her down to One Police Plaza. Her name is Helen Varecha, and she is 82 years old. In 1968, her son John was a 25-year-old patrolman, a promising young man midway through his second year in the NYPD. He lived at home with his mother and father. And on October the 7th, 1968, John Vacera, dressed for work, said goodbye to his mother and went out on his last tour of duty. That night, a car ran a red light in Midtown Manhattan. Patrolman Vacera followed the car and pulled it over. What he didn't know was that inside the car were two low-level thugs, Albert Victory and Robert Bornholt, who had spent the day shaking down nightclub owners for protection money and had just finished shooting up one club in an attempt to intimidate the owner. No one knows exactly what happened after Patrolman Vacera walked up to the car, but within minutes the two men had pulled out guns and begun firing. They shot Patrolman Vacera 7 times. He fell back into an alley and died there. An off-duty police officer named Randy Jurgensen was hanging out nearby with his cousin, another off-duty cop named Joe Corcoran. They heard the shots and chased Victory and Bornholt, who tried to run away on foot. They tackled the two men and eventually arrested them. Even though it was a capital crime, Albert Victory got only 25 years for killing Patrolman Vacera. He threatened to kill the prosecutor and Jurgensen and even the trial judge. He escaped from prison in 1978, but was caught and sent back, and then, inexplicably, in December of 1999, 59-year-old Albert Victory, murderer, was paroled. On February the 1st, 2001, John Vacera's mother arrived at One Police Plaza and rode the elevator to the 14th floor. She was led through the outer offices and into my office. She carried herself with tremendous poise and dignity. In my office, with my senior staff around me, I presented Helen Vacera with an inscribed copy of her son John's shield. She had told Joe Esposito at the police museum that she'd always wanted a copy of his shield. She thanked me and then stood. "But there's more," she said. I looked over at Joe Esposito and we both shrugged. Then she walked out into the hallway and returned with an old blue NYPD uniform, pressed and on a hanger. Helen Vacera pulled out a small piece of notebook paper from her pocket. She unfolded the paper. "I am going to read," she said, "because my memory isn't what it used to be, and I want to make sure I do not forget anything." "Thank you for this honor," she began, her fingers shaking. "I would like to explain what this uniform means to me. It hung in the closet for 32 years, neatly pressed, just as he left it, until today. This wasn't just some ordinary piece of clothing to be carelessly discarded. It was my son's uniform, a symbol of what he stood for, authority and respect. It represents our finest, the fallen heroes, whose badges line the wall of the police museum. They gave their life to make our streets safe. I shed unashamed tears for them out of respect, just as I do when I hear our star-spangled banner. For they do not die in vain. I hope this uniform will stand in honor of our finest, who day after day are out there to protect us." She folded up her little piece of paper and handed it to me. I ordered the uniform to be sent to the police museum for display. This uniform had covered the flesh of Patrolman John Vacera, felt his heartbeat, and acted as a public reminder to everyone who saw him wear it that he was there to keep them safe from harm. We should never forget that. We should never forget Patrolman
John Varecha. That is what it means to be a police officer in America. That is a message as to the level of respect and honor we should pay them all. Don't talk to me about the odd bad apple. I couldn't care less. The odd bad apple will be caught and will pay the price. But to those who say defund the police or that police are racists, you are the racists. John Varecha died to keep you and your family safe. And we will not let you destroy America's police community. They are our family. That short passage comes from this incredible book, The Lost Son, A Life in Pursuit of Justice, by Commissioner Bernard Kerik. And I'm happy to say, through good fortune and happenstance, he will be with us later here on America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, and you. Relief Factor. Are you in pain? Have you tried everything else? If that's the case, please, please try this 100% drug-free product that is providing liberation from pain to tens of thousands of Americans, me included. Just listen to Debron from Massachusetts. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I'm feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. Did you hear that? Her hip pain is gone. That could be you, but there's only one way to find out. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Debron, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Don't wait any longer. You know it makes sense. 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com.
I used to struggle with imposter syndrome, but at 36, I refused to internalize misguided patriarchal ideas of what a woman can or should be. I am tired of feeling like I'm supposed to apologize for the space I occupy rather than intoxicate people with my effort, my brilliance.
Her brilliance! CIA officer from the latest CIA recruiting video, who's just so proud of the fact that she can change diapers and she's fighting the patriarchy. I can't think of a better person to discuss these issues than former NYPD and CIA operator analyst. He is none other than Buck Sexton, the host of the Buck Sexton Show. I know you're chomping at the bit, Buck. I know you want to talk about that CIA video. But first, because we mentioned it in the break, I opened the show with an amazing passage from Bernie Kerik's autobiography, former NYPD commissioner. You were telling a story. You are from New York. Tell us the transformation from when you were a kid, what you were doing then, and what you're witnessing today. Welcome.
Dr. G, always great to be with you. Love talking to your audience. So I grew up here in New York City. I went to Catholic school. I lived in a nice, what would be a nice, safe neighborhood by the times then, and certainly by now, a well-off neighborhood in New York. And it was a dystopian mess a lot of the time. We actually got a note given to us at my little Catholic school. I was maybe 8, 9, 10 years old, telling us to stuff our little blazers in our backpacks so we'd be less likely to get mugged on the way home, because there were just roving bands of teenagers who would hang out on stoops and wander through Central Park, and they would mug, beat, rob, attack, sometimes much worse. people, and it was just all over. There was graffiti everywhere. There were 2,200, give or take, 2,200 murders in New York City. I think it was 1991.
Yes.
Fast forward through Giuliani, the Giuliani miracle, continued, credit where it's due, by Bloomberg, just leaving the right people in place, the police. You're down to less than 300 murders a year, and guess what? Now it's spiking back up in the other direction. But to be in a city where crime is so normalized, it's almost like, you know, in the past, it's like we're returning to it now, Dr. G. And it just, it breaks my heart because I love this town, but I'm encouraging people to get out. I'm saying get out now. It's only going to get worse before it gets better.
He loves New York, but he's saying enough is enough. With that regard, you mentioned his name. Your response to what they did to Rudy Giuliani last week?
Oh, my God. Police state nonsense. It's appalling. But I've been telling people this all along. Quick way to know what's really happening with justice in this country or the lack thereof. And that is, think of all the Democrats who are hounded by investigations by the federal government with no, or state government for that matter, where there's just no there. And then think about all the Republicans you can go through. These are all people that were criminally prosecuted or investigated. And the underlying reason was absurd. At top of the list, Donald Trump, the Russia collusion, of course. But go beyond that. You had Scott Walker, the governor of Wisconsin. You had Chris Christie with Bridgegate in New Jersey. You had Governor Bob McDonnell of Virginia. The Supreme Court had to overturn part of his sentence. They wanted to throw his wife in prison. He never even did anything that was an official act. They went after Rick Perry in Texas. It has been an utter and total mess. And we can see the politicization constantly. So, you know, I think that unfortunately we don't push back enough on this stuff when it happens. And we want to believe in the system. So we won't accept when the system is being weaponized against the right. And that is what is happening under this Biden administration.
It's the criminalization of conservatism, and it is the weaponization of federal government against those who politically disagree with the Democrats. We're talking to Buck Sexton, host of the Buck Sexton Show, radio host syndicated across the nation. Follow him, Buck Sexton, and BuckSexton.com. Okay, let's get to Do we just laugh at what the CIA is doing with that recruitment video, or do we see this as a grave concern? Because there's, in that long propaganda piece, there was no mention of national security. There was no mention of our enemies. It was all virtue signaling. So do we laugh or do we take it seriously, Buck?
No, we can do both, because that's what you should do here. On the one hand, it's absurd. I had, you know, old hands from the CIA reaching out to me. And before I could even say anything, they say, Buck, we know, we saw it, I'm sorry, it's embarrassing. You know, they know how absurd it is. But I also had somebody tell me that the way that he sees the agency now, this is somebody who spent a lot of time, you know, in Langley in that building, it's like watching a friend just slowly deteriorate from an incurable disease. But that disease is wokeness. I mean, that's what's going on now. I mean, diversity and inclusion is absolutely being indoctrinated into people in the intelligence community the same way it is in corporate America, the same way it is in the schools. It's completely out of control. And it also just goes to show you that, you know, any institution that is not explicitly conservative over time, as we know, turns leftist. And that's happened in the intelligence community. It's really troubling. So that, on that level, I take it seriously, because I think this does affect not only the esprit de corps of a place like that, but the real, there are, and you and I both know this, maybe it's 10%, maybe it's 20%, but there are people in the IC, a lot of them former military, but there are people in the IC just generally who are, you know, meat-eating, flag-loving, patriotic Americans who actually want to take the fight to the enemy and do their best. And they see this stuff, and they're just like, I got to get out of here. So it's just going to be like what you see with the police when they're being undermined with the BLM narrative, with this diversity and inclusion, multicultural malarkey, to borrow from Biden. You're going to have people that say, I've had enough of this. You know, I don't need to. I'm trying to stop China from being the dominant global power. I don't need to sit through lectures about where I am on the supremacy hierarchy of different cultural ideas or whatever. It's just crazy.
You mean you don't believe in intersectionality, Buck Sexton? I'm shocked! Okay, here's a more serious question. Where are the real upstanding officers? So you've done intelligence not only at Langley but for the NYPD. Now you're a nationally syndicated host. Why do we only have whistleblowers on the left like Sasha Vindman? Why do we not have FBI agents who say, no, this is wrong, take my badge, take my stinking gun, and I'm going to talk to the American people about what's going on? Isn't there a dearth of real whistleblowers, Buck?
There's absolutely a huge disparity among whistleblowers, but I'd say this goes to the mentality of the left versus people who are on the right in general. I'm sure you have people listening right now to this show who are either local law enforcement, state trooper, FBI. The ones that get into it for the right reasons, you know, the guys who are working with the FBI who really do want to, you know, take down drug trafficking rings and sex trafficking rings and, you know, cartel hitmen and do the real work, they're happy to just do the real work. They don't see this as a bridge to social engineering in a broader sense for all the rest of society, right? This is true of FBI, true of DOJ. The people that go into it for the right reasons are happy to serve the public with the defined mission they have. On the left, you have people that say, oh, well, you know, I got this big, powerful institution I'm working in now. It'd be a shame not to use it for the purposes of social justice. It's a difference in the mentality. They're noisier about it. They internalize their politics more, and they view the politicization of what are supposed to be nonpartisan entities as actually serving the greater good. That's the huge difference, right? So that's why you got FBI guys, thank God, still, who will go chase down the real bad guys, but they're not speaking out against this stuff.
Guys,
they're just doing their job.
It's time to speak out. He's Buck Sexton, nationally syndicated, and he can say politicized. It's impressive. Follow him right now, BuckSexton.com. Keep doing what you do. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Next up, another former Intel pro from the CIA. Stay on this channel.
I'm a woman of color. I am a mom. I am a cisgender millennial who's been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. I am intersectional, but my existence is not a box-checking exercise.
So our next guest, that's from the CIA recruitment video again. She's not a box ticker as she ticks boxes. But the bio for our next guest is, I'm a little confused. He says he loves Arizona, but he misses Oregon. Does that mean he's intersectional? It could be. Former CIA operations officer, America First, the man who's allergic to DC egos. Welcome back to America First, Brian Dean Wright.
What does intersectional mean? Does anyone actually know? I don't. And I don't
it's when know. It's when you come to a junction in the road, isn't it? I'm being intersectional, right?
Yeah, I'm never going to look up that word. I never want to know what it means.
All right, I got to ask, we had Buck Sexton on, we're going to have Bernie Kerik in the next hour. You're there, you're in the belly of the beast, you've served this nation as a CIA officer. What is going on at Langley, Brian?
Well, it's madness. So I'll tell you, the history that a lot of people don't know or understand is John Brennan, when he was director of the CIA, he started a lot of this with a big reform that he pushed, and part of it was this, how do we hire this new generation, which is fine, but he really leaned on the human resources folks to be, well, for lack of a better word, more woke. And so this kind of stuff was squashed by, you know, Pompeo and other Trump, you know, folks who are running the intelligence community. And now we see with the, you know, Biden CIA director, it has come back roaring, and it is wildly bad for the mission and for the protection of the country, and then ultimately for our democracy, because we don't want our law enforcement and intelligence agencies to become political. Right? That's the cost.
All right, but let's
that's what happens.
Let's go back a step. Let's talk about all the stuff we can talk about in the unclassified domain. So what people don't know about Brennan is Brennan wanted to be what you were. He wanted to be in the DO, as was director of operations. He wanted to be an officer, and he failed. He tried. He went to the farm. He washed out. He was garbage. So he ended up as an analyst. And my reading of what he did as Obama's CIA director is he wanted the revenge against the cool kids. He washed out. So he reorganized the CIA with these centers where you'd have cross-pollination of analysts and actual officers that were, you know, field officers. And in some cases, the analysts were given authority to do things they'd never been allowed to do before, which were operational. So isn't this more than just wokeness? Isn't this just a fundamental dismantling of how America does or should do intelligence, Brian?
Well, you are absolutely correct. And for many of us who were there, as I was during that time when this was all happening, that was our scream, our cry. Of course, it fell on deaf ears with John Brennan and other folks. But that leadership changed the way that the agency both conducts operations and then assesses their effectiveness. And you're absolutely right. It made America weaker. The people in positions of authority and responsibility who had absolutely no idea what they were doing. They thought they did. But they didn't, and I can tell you that from firsthand experience.
When let's just a little bit of red teaming, so thinking like the enemy. We're talking to Brian Dean Wright. Follow him on Twitter, Brian with a Y, Brian Dean Wright. What does, I don't know, the Communist Party Central Committee of Red China, what does Vladimir Putin, former KGB colonel, now the president for life of the Russian Federation, or what do the murderous mullahs of Iran think when they watch that CIA video? I don't even know if they believe it, but if they do, what do they think, Brian?
Well, I can't wait for a story that I will hear from one of my former colleagues of a CIA officer who's one of these woke people telling their Russian target, hey, you need to watch this TED Talk video on the patriarchy. I mean, for Pete's sake, that nobody else in the world embraces this woke flimflam. And so if you are a Russian counterintelligence official or Chinese counterintelligence official, you're loving this. Because, you know, no sensible person you're working with would ever consider working with the CIA, a bunch of these crazy people, because they're not committed fundamentally to the United States or to the governance of the nation. They're committed to themselves. The CIA officers that are being recruited are committed to themselves.
Yeah.
Creating their own safe space, right? You know, declaring that they're part of this intersectional, cisgendered, other words that just were existed, you know, in people's minds. But now it's in the dictionary. That's real. Again, the movement behind it is real. So there are very real operational implications, and there's a very real impact on the safety and the security of this country as these wokesters become ever more present in both our operations and in the analysis of them.
It's exactly what I said yesterday. These individuals, that video exudes one thing. I'm here for myself to talk about how great I am instead of serving all the American people. That's your job. You're in federal government, whether you're in the White House, the CIA, or whether you're at the Department of Agriculture. You are there to serve all Americans, irrespective of their intersectional gender identities. We're going to be back with Brian Dean Wright momentarily here on America First. If you've got a cell phone, please don't go with one of the big cell phone providers. They're not on your side. They're not concerned. Conservatives. Go with the only Christian conservative cell phone company, Patriot Mobile, right now, offering you 50% off your first 2 months of service, plus a free Patriot starter kit if you switch your number today. Plus, there's the Be a Patriot promotion where you could win a phone and free cell service for life. Three ways to enter. Donate to one of their conservative charities, switch your service to patriotmobile.com, or just send in your ideas on what it means to be a patriot. Amazing rates, especially for veterans and first responders. Get the discount, the free starter kit, and a chance to win telephone for life. patriotmobile.com/GORKA 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-728-7468. Join the good guys today.
The This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
He's a former CIA operations officer. He says he's going to write a book. He better, because I want to read it. His name's Brian Dean Wright. Follow him, Brian with a Y, on Twitter, Brian Dean Wright. Brian, I'm just looking at your Twitter feed, and you posted a poll from Pew Research with this shocking figure. Only 59% of Democrats think it's important for Americans to share American customs and traditions. The same number for Republicans is 86%. If the majority of Democrats don't want us to share our values, then what is America?
Well, that's exactly it. Look, this country, it's one of its founding principles, was out of many, one.
Yeah.
So how does that happen? How do we create a oneness in a country that had originally, you know, 13 different colonies or multiple states, different cultures, different religions, different nationalities, even back then? It's true both now as then that you create a oneness through shared customs, a culture. You share a language. If without that, you break apart. I mean, you and I are both old enough to remember the Yugoslavia example of
yes.
cobbling together a nation that had much differences, and it was held together by a strong man, Josip Tito. But the point is that he forced those folks to celebrate oneness through being Yugoslav. When you stop doing that as there, the nation begins to fall apart, because that lack of oneness means you focus on differences.
And when what happens to that division, Brian, when the president of the United States, who garnered 74 million votes, just has his suspension on Facebook re-upped today?
Right. Well, I'll tell you what the conversations are with some of the folks that I still know within the agency. They're looking at their own country, the United States of America, much like they would a foreign country. And they're seeing the red flags that they would normally watch abroad of a country falling apart.
Yeah.
So by telling the tens of millions of Americans who voted for President Trump or for the Republican Party or for conservatism, American First, right, you're basically saying that voice, those voices, your lives, your culture, your customs don't matter. You don't deserve a place at the American table. In fact, we view you, the left says, as a domestic terrorist, white supremacist.
And when you see the reports since January the 6th that there are still people in federal custody for trespassing in Congress since January, but nobody has paid a significant price for the violence of the last year in terms of Antifa and Blue Lives Matter, then that divide is only going to get bigger, is it not?
We have an attorney general who said that he would be less inclined to prosecute lawbreakers, particularly Antifa in Portland, if it happened at night.
Yeah, because terrorism doesn't happen after nightfall.
Oh, my goodness gracious. What sort of madness is this? Look, we will not stay as a cohesive country if we, one, have a separate sense of justice, right? So whoever, I don't care if it's Republican or Democrat, if there's Republican justice or Democrat justice, and we chase after each other, you know, when we get power, this country will fall apart. If we disincentivize people from getting along and sharing custom and culture and language, and we actually say that America is bad, then people will start behaving like it.
But Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, you are a Democrat or were a Democrat or come from a Democrat
former.
Family.
Let's make sure we say that. Former.
Former. Friend. Okay. It's official right now in front of millions of people. Yes. We've stated he's a former Democrat.
So that's it.
We were promised unity and peace on Inauguration Day for Joe Biden. Where will this end? Because I see the opposite. I see exacerbation. I see targeting. So where you are an intelligence professional. You've done this for a living more than once. Where does this end? You've mentioned Yugoslavia. Is that the future?
I'll tell you that is my growing concern, that we are on that path and there are no breakers to slow us down. Because historically, we've had friends and family who are of different types of, say, political leanings, and we've embraced them. And now we're being encouraged to shun them. I mean, we're hearing that language from the left. So what happens when people are encouraged to stop being friends or even family members with each other? We don't see that language of unity coming from President Biden. New York Times and AOC are both fully now on the record of saying that the party and Joe Biden are drifting left, and he's actually turned into be a very good progressive president. Sure, for progressives, but what about the rest of the country?
Right.
So I fear that we are headed towards a violent conclusion. Our media would normally report on facts and data and sort of calm the passions of the people. Now they're incentivized to inflame. So we don't have the commonalities, a shared sense of truth, a good, fair media that would normally pump the brakes on these kinds of divisions. In fact, everybody's throwing fuel on it. And so I fear, as I think a lot of my former colleagues in the CIA who look at this stuff abroad are saying, we've got this crisis of dissolution in our country right now. We are on the path.
What is your message? This is the question I ask my guests every single day here, because I think after the last year's experience, the biggest thing we lack is courage. What is your message to Democrats, Republicans, independents who are changing what they say because they are afraid of the reactions of fellow Americans? What do you say to them, Brian? Because you are very outspoken. What do you say to those who are afraid of the woke mob?
Be brave. This is the time. Be brave. I know it's hard, especially for folks who are afraid of losing friends and family. Look, I had a friend of 20 years, who said that he could no longer be a friend of mine because he realized or believed that I was too conservative for his liking. All right? That was hard. That was hard to lose a friendship of 20 years, someone who I considered to be basically family. But the fact of the matter is, for those people who reject you, it didn't matter at the end of the day. Because whoever you are is important and it's beautiful, and if people reject you for a belief, then those people shouldn't be in your lives. So stand up, be brave. Now is the time. We have to ensure that we have each other's back, but there is nobody else who's going to do it for us. We have to do it. We have to be brave, and we have to be brave now.
The greatest figure, the greatest statesman of the modern age was Winston Churchill. And he said once, you are measured by the quality of enemies you have. Remember that, my friends. In the meantime, follow this man at Brian Dean Wright, Brian with a Y. I'm Sebastian Gorka. God bless you. Keep doing what you do. This is the Salem Radio Network with America First and me, your host, Sebastian Gorka, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
I do commend Lynn Cheney for her courage, for her patriotism, and I wish her well. Perhaps this challenge will make her stronger.
Pelosi, that's Pelosi if you're not watching us. Brent. Brent is in L.A. Let me test Brent's intellectual acuity. If you're a Republican and Nancy Pelosi's praising you, that's a problem, right?
That's a big problem.
Okay, good. I'm just checking. All right, we're going to squeeze in two of our best buddies, Brent and Ray. Brent, fire away.
Yeah, well, my dear friend, America needs the Guardian Gorka more than ever.
What? Are you saying I'm not allowed to take 2 days off?
No, of course
I get the I get the inference. Thank you. Come on. I had a family reunion. I had to go.
Oh, good for you. That's wonderful. But I've been attempting to wrap my mind around the reimagined Soros-inspired CIA. And without notice, the CIA became the Communist Intersectional Agency, or horrifyingly, the CCPIA.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good.
Thanks. And I think their current protocol seems to be promoting systemically inclusive sedition. And with the clandestine Clintons redistributing American uranium to our enemies, and now the Obama-Bidens assisting Iran to obtain woke weapons of mass destruction, it is time to restart recreating the CIA's communist reality.
My question yesterday, and I think I tweeted it out, is would we be any less safe if we just got rid of the CIA? After that ad, I don't think so. Thank you, Brent. Superb to hear your voice. Ray Livermore, you too. Welcome.
Let me do my best, Brent. Great and good Gorka.
Nicely done. I love Nicely
Brent.
Done.
I love Brent. Hey, as your senior caller at large, I would like to list
Without portfolio.
Yes.
Okay,
without
good.
Portfolio. I'd like to list my non-qualifications for being in the CIA.
You're male, heterosexual, yes. White, and conservative. Fired!
Stop it. I'm not intersectional. I'm a two-lane highway with no stop signs. I'm absent of color, and I'm unapologetic. I identify as a normal man with external plumbing.
But do you have rumble strips? That's the question. Do you have rumble strips?
No. One man, one woman is my policy. And while I may not be woke, I am wide awake, sir.
One man, one woman. That's his... I remember something that was built on that. Oh, yes, civilization was built on that.
Yes, sir.
good yeah. Stuff, Ray. Anything else you want to throw to our 3 million listeners?
Well, this is a very sad time when we see this, as you've already indicated. These are the qualifications for our highest-ranking spies and intelligence agency personnel. This is not a good sign.
But
here's what I want to say. If you were falling asleep in high school and college and you missed the fall of Rome, don't worry. You have a front row seat now.
It's the rematch. It's the rematch. But we're going to stop the barbarians this time. God bless you, Ray. Great callers, as usual. I'm having fun. I hope you are. This is America First. Next, the one, the only, Bernie Kerik.